I am thrilled to be here, just hugely blessed to be here. Who wouldn't want to come to a place called Sugarland? Do you appreciate it's called Sugarland? You get that? Most places are not so wonderfully named, so it's just puts a smile on my face just to say, where are you going? I'm going to Sugarland. I sounded just like Joel Osteen that second. Did you notice that? That's so weird. I said, I'm going to Sugarland. Let me tell you, I'm blessed to be here, thrilled to be here, and to be here on Bring a Friend Sunday. Now, I want to tell you, there was an 8:30 service. So if your friend brought you to this service, that's a true friend. All right? There's a lot of angry friends at the 8:30 service. I'm not going to... They were bitter. Many of them walked away from God this morning because their friends brought them. They had a choice. They brought them to the 8:30 service. No, it's just, I'm always fascinated when people come to an 8:30 service when there's other options, you know? But I guess it depends on your music stuff, right? Like the 8:30 service, there's no instruments. I noticed at this service, you got instruments, but you got the drummer in a tank. I'm assuming there may be an evening service where the drummer is outside of the tank. Is that right? I don't know. Anyway, I'm thrilled to be here, and I want to talk to you this morning. I want to kind of tell you a little bit about my story first, and then I want to get into the subject of miracles, how science, is science leading us to God? But tell you my story real quick. Let's see. My folks were born in Europe. My dad came from Greece. My mom came from Germany in the 50s. They met in an English class in New York City. Got married, and you know, if you're raised in a family that's Greek and German, that means you will be raised Greek. Yeah, I don't know if you know that, but that's the way it is. It's one of those ethnicities that will brook no dissent. And so I was raised in Greek Orthodox Church. We went to the Greek Orthodox Church every Sunday. But I'm one of those people, I'm sure some of you have experienced this kind of thing, where your Christianity that you get every Sunday is kind of cultural, right? You're going, but by the time you got into the real world, when I went to college, I realized I don't know what I believe exactly. I went every Sunday, was an altar boy, but I never was sure, is this definitely true, or how does this comport with the reality beyond that, you know, church service and that little community? It was a wonderful community, but I ended up going to Yale University, which, as some of you know, is ever so slightly secular. I don't know if you know that. And you know, people think I'm always bashing Yale, and I am, because they stink, but let me say this. To be perfectly fair, they've only been this way for like the last 200 years. Before that, they were rock solid theologically, okay? So if you graduated like after 1810, that's when the trouble started. But it's like most of academia today, except for Texas A&M, I realize, is... Oh, anybody here? Any Aggies here in the room? Fascinating. Imagine in a place like Sugarland that there'd be Aggies in the room. Well, so... But the point is, most of academia is aggressively secular, right? It didn't always used to be that way, but Yale's one of the worst, and I'm not joking. People kind of think, like, if somebody went to Harvard, they say, oh, he went to Harvard, you're probably like, you're a Yale man. It's like, no, I hate Yale. And I'm not kidding, because, like, these are places where you go there, like I did, not really knowing what you believe, and if you don't know what you believe, man, if you go in there with an open mind, you're in trouble. Yeah, so if you have to go, don't go with an open mind, that's the key. But if you go there with an open mind, they kind of present sort of secular humanist liberalism as though that's the only reasonable worldview. And a lot of academia is that way today. It's just the way it is. So if you're not sure what you believe, you're going to be in trouble, because you go in there and you just say, okay, so what's the meaning of life? And you find out that they don't talk about that because they don't have any answers that they would want to share. Because from their point of view, if you don't believe that there's a loving God who created the world, who created you in his image, who has a plan for your life, and you're going to be with him forever, that's his plan, right? If you don't believe that, what do you believe? Well, you believe that we kind of got here by accident, right? That the evolutionary process, whether you believe it happened or didn't, they're saying, well, even if it happened, it happened randomly. It was accidental mutations. How do you sign mutations? I'm just curious. That's got to be tough. That's got to be tough. I want to learn the sign for mutations. I just noticed that's a tough job. So if we got here by accident, totally by accident, it would mean that your life is utterly meaningless. Now, who could actually process the concept of life being meaningless? The reason you can't process it is because, first of all, it's not true, and because you're created by a God who has given you a desire for meaning. But imagine if you really believed that life was meaningless, that we got here by accident, And that anything that you would believe that's transcendent, like love, that's just a social construct. I'm not looking over at the person who's signing social construct. But can you imagine if it's all made up? If somebody says, here's the secret, this is just something people made up to make themselves feel good. There's no such thing as actual love. The feeling you feel for your kids, that's just chemicals designed to perpetuate the species. There's no good or evil. Now, if you really believed that, you would either want to kill yourself or you'd want to spend the rest of your life never thinking about that stuff. And I think most people say, we're going to spend our lives never talking about that. So you go to a place like Yale and a lot of academia, and people may say things like, we don't believe in God, but they never unpack it to the point where it says, therefore, there is no good or evil, and your life literally has no meaning. The bleakness of that is too horrific. So you go to a place like that, and you know, what do you do with the rest of your life? Well, they say, study hard, get a really good job, and work really hard, and it'll all be over in a few decades. And just try not to think about it. On the weekends, you got sports, you got alcohol, do what you need to do, but do not think about this stuff. Because if you think about it, it's really freaky. So, okay, well, I was an English major, I wanted to be a writer, I graduated. As you know, I did not get a good job. If you're an English major, you do not get a good job. You just kind of try to be a writer. What does that mean? Well, my goal was to be a writer, and so what did I do? I drifted, I floated, I floundered. If you do that, you will inevitably move back in with your parents. That's just a law, and that's just what happens. So I moved back in with my parents, and I really was lost. I said, I don't know what's the meaning of life? What am I doing? What am I writing? It was not fun. But in the midst of that misery, God was able to reach me. Sometimes misery is a good thing, even though we shouldn't search for misery and suffering and humbling. You don't search for that. But if you let God do that, sometimes there can be something really beautiful that comes out of it. So long story short, I met a man. He was sharing his faith with me. I tried to ignore him as hard as I could possibly, but I was in enough misery that a little bit of it leaked through my brain. And then one night, months into this experience, I had a dream. And I'm not going to tell you the story of the dream, but it was a true miracle in my life. If anybody says, do you believe in miracles? Do you believe God could speak today? Well, I can pretend I don't know, but the fact is that I know that you cannot, you know, force me to believe that anything happened other than that the Lord of the Bible, the Lord of the universe, spoke to me in his infinite mercy, because I know I didn't deserve it, and I woke up and I knew he was real, Jesus is Lord, and my life has changed, and that's a good thing. And so suddenly I said, Lord, what do I do with my life? I know you're real. I was sure I couldn't know that stuff, but now I know you're real. What do I do with my life? And the Lord led me on this strange journey, writing children's books. I work for VeggieTales. I'm the voice of the narrator on the Esther video. And I did such a good job as the narrator that to this day, I am still the narrator on that video. Yeah, if you pop in the DVD or the video, I'm still the narrator because I just said, let's let this ride. Eric did a great job. So I also wrote half of Lyle the Kindly Viking. I wrote the Hamlet omelet parody, right? Now, I never had a goal to do anything like this, but the Lord, if you trust him, he'll take you on a strange journey. He knows what he's doing. We don't. And so finally, I ended up writing some books of apologetics, and I wrote some biographies. I always say that I never wanted to write a biography because I'm too self-centered to want to spend that much time focused on another person, you know? Any self-centered monsters in the room? All right, just me. But the Lord led me, in some ways miraculously, I have to say, and I write about some of that in my books, but I never expected that I would be doing any of these things. Now, I certainly didn't want to write a book on miracles, but one day, a few years ago, I was having lunch with an editor in New York City, Viking, and we're talking, and I don't know, he didn't seem to be born again or whatever, and I shared a miracle story with him that had happened in my life, like one of these stories that, you know, it kind of challenges you. You say, like, okay, this happened. What do you make of that? I mean, common sense would say, oh, God is real and God did that. That's what common sense would say. But if that's not a possibility for you, you're left with some weird options. You're lying, you misunderstood the situation or whatever. I mean, you know, what do you do with that? And so sometimes God allows us to experience the miraculous, not always, but I have had the privilege in my life a few times of being taken up in various UFOs and things. Just kidding. It's 11. You should laugh at that now. That's, you know, I'm not serious. There was no UFOs. But I'm saying, but I have had the privilege of experiencing some miraculous things where God just proves himself to you in different ways. And he does it for every person in a different way. So anybody tries to make a doctrine about, you know, you have to experience this, you get it. But I'm just saying I've experienced that. The Lord has led me. So I told one of these stories to this editor, and he said, you've got to write a book on miracles. And I fought and fought. I said, I don't want to write a book on miracles. I'm not interested. But he kind of talked me into it over time. And my wife said, you know, there aren't any books kind of like what you would write. A book that's sort of skeptical of miracles that says, let's look at it from a scientific point of view. Let's not just, you know, because there's some people, everything's a miracle, whatever. Let's be skeptical. Put yourself in the shoes of somebody who doesn't believe this. What would you make of it? How do you process this? So I wrote a book where the second half of it is miracle stories that either happened to me or people I know. Some people I know have had amazing experiences, and I simply say, hey, what do you make of that? You know, like, are they making it up? I know these people. Are they crazy? Are they lying? What do you make of it? God gives us all kinds of evidence for himself. And so we cannot pretend that there isn't evidence. There is outrageous evidence. And so part of what I want to say this morning is that we need to know that what we believe is true. It's not just what we believe or makes me feel better or it makes me a better husband or what. Hopefully it does, but that's not why I believe it. I believe it because it's actually true. And you need to know that it's true. And some of it you can know why you know it's true. Some of it maybe you can't, or that's not your thing, but the evidence for the God of the Bible, the more time passes, the more clear it is that it's real. And so some people are willfully pushing it away because they prefer not to believe in that God. But if you're interested in evidence, there is more and more evidence. So I saw that in my life, so I shared this story with this this editor, and he was kind of blown away. He said, you got to write a book on miracles. So finally I said, okay, I'll write it. And the second half is these stories. But the first half, I said, the biggest miracle, something I've had the privilege of discovering over the years by reading different books by people like John Lennox and Hugh Ross and other people, is what's called the fine-tuned universe. Now, I don't know, some of you will be familiar with that, but it means that science, when you look at how the universe came into being, you know, whether you believe in the Big Bang or not, the scientists say, oh, it all came into being 13.8 billion years ago, right? The universe exploded into being. But the more time that passes, the more they say, it sure looks like it was designed by God. Like it couldn't have just happened. 50 years ago, you could have confidently said, it looks like it just happened. We just ended up here, and that's why we're here. But the more we know from science, the more it seems spooky. Like it didn't just happen. Even if I want to believe that it just happened, there's more and more evidence that it's making it hard for me. I need more faith to believe the God of the Bible is not real. You follow me? I need more faith because common sense says it sure looks like it happened. I'll give you an example. Let's say I flip a coin up here. I flip a quarter and it lands right on its side. Now, you all know that that is possible, right? You know that that's rare. But anybody here ever experienced that? You flip a coin and it lands on its side? I'm just curious. Usually somebody. Anybody, raise your hand. Raise your hand and come up here and demonstrate it. The fact of the matter is that it's happened to me. I know it's happened to me once or twice in my lifetime. I must flip a lot of coins. But the point is, it's conceivable, but it's extremely rare. But if you ever are flipping coins and you see it happen, you'd be like, whoa, look, check it out, amazing. But you know it's possible. It can happen sometimes. But what if you did it and it happened and you told all your friends, that's amazing, that's amazing, amazing. And then said, let's flip another one. You flip another one and it happened again. Now you're getting freaked out. Something is going on. Because the odds of it happening once might be 1 in 10,000. But the odds of happening twice, it's 10,000 times 10,000, right? What's that, 100 million, okay? Now that's just scary. So what if you did it a third time and it happened again? Now you're thinking, I'm on candid camera. There is, anybody remember candid camera? Alan Funt? That's not supposed to happen. Something is going on. You know, common sense demands that you say, that didn't just happen, something's going on, what's going on? Come out from behind the camera. There's a magician here. What's going on? You're freaking me out. You know. How do you know? You know. Well, what if you did it 100 times in a row and it does that every single time? It just gets more and more crazy. You'd say that there, even though mathematically, now keep in mind, mathematically it's possible for it to happen many times in a row, but it's so astronomically difficult that if that happens and you observe it, you just say, stop, something is going on. This cannot be random. Well, that's what we have with the universe. The more scientists see how the universe is put together, the more freaked out they get. Because 50 years ago, we were only aware of maybe two things necessary for life, for a planet like ours to exist. So Carl Sagan in 1965 or something said there are two things that are necessary. So let's say there's, 100 billion planets. And so that probably means that there's this many planets. There's a billion planets that could have life, right? But then they found a third thing and a fourth thing and a fifth thing. They said, unless this is so, unless the planet is this far away from a sun, unless it's in this part of the galaxy, and unless blah, 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 on and on and on. The more they studied, the more they realized that it's not so easy to create a planet like this, right? But this increased so that the more time passed, the more science found to make it hard to believe. So that number, let's say Carl Sagan says in 1965, oh, there's probably, 100 billion planets that could support life. Well, that number kept dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping until it got to the point where they said, maybe there's 5 planets in the universe that could support life. Now, this is if you're being honest, because if you watch the news, they kind of make it sound like every 5 minutes we're finding a planet with water that probably has, donkeys galloping around or something like that, because they just come right out of puddles. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, right? They just come right out. No, they don't. In order for life to exist, whatever, it is just insanely difficult. In fact, it never happens. In fact, the more they discovered these factors, okay? So it starts out at 2, but the decades passed, science discovered more and more things. And unless this is exactly this way, it doesn't work. And then another thing and another thing. So imagine like a board with 200 dials on it, and they're all calibrated just so. And if one of those dials should happen to fall, 99 bottles of beer on the, just kidding. If one of those dials, just trying to make sure you're awake, should be a millimeter changed, the whole thing goes away. Not 5 of them or whatever. This is what science says, is that we now have more and more evidence that if this weren't just so, and this weren't this just so, and this weren't just so, the whole thing doesn't work. So scientists are getting freaked out. They're saying, how is it possible that the odds are so, infinitely difficult for life, and yet we're here? How's it possible? I wrote an article with the title, Is Science Leading Us to God? In my book, Miracles, the first couple chapters, I talk about all this stuff. And so I put it into an op-ed. I sent it to the Wall Street Journal. I'd never been published there before, and they published it. This is Christmas 2 years ago. The interest in this among your average person is so intense because you never get evidence from TV or anything like that about the reasonableness of faith of the Bible or anything, that piece was shared so much it became the most shared read piece in the history of the Wall Street Journal, keeping records on this stuff. Is that amazing? I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's obvious that the reason that happened, because my writing is just that good. What else is there to... No, but the fact is that, in all seriousness, the interest in this subject is huge. People want to know, what does science say about God? Is the Bible reconcilable with science or whatever? So when you read this, that you think, why haven't I been hearing about this? So when you hear about it, you share it with your friends. But it's got 625,000 Facebook likes at this point. Like, it's insane. It's more than double of any other article. Because the hunger on this subject is huge, because it's not being fed. As I said, if you watch TV, you never really hear about this stuff. So I was so fascinated that this is happening. As we're sitting here, science is discovering more that makes it difficult for us to believe that it just happened, right? So you know, there was 20 dials, there's 50 dials, now there's 200, more than 200. If you read Hugh Ross in those books, they kind of get into the science of it, that if this were just a tiny bit different, the whole thing wouldn't happen. So it just happens that it's all perfect. So you realize we're at a point now, at some point, as that number went down over the decades, that, well, there's not as many planets as we thought that could probably support life. At some point, it went down to zero. And we are way below zero at this point. In other words, if somebody says to you, what are the odds that life should exist on a planet in the universe? The odds are way below zero. It's like one in trillions and trillions that we shouldn't be here. So why are we here? One word, one syllable, three letters. God. There's no explanation except that God designed the universe exactly, perfectly this way because he wanted to create a people who would love him, be created in his image. And to me, that's what Occam's razor says. That's what common sense says. But what if you hate that idea so much that you say, well, I hate the idea of God so much, so I've got to come up with an explanation for how all these 200 dials have to be just perfect and what? Oh, I got it. Here's what it is. This is literally what some scientists are saying today, which is hilarious. They're saying that there must be an infinity of universes. We have no evidence for them. We've never seen them. But let's just suppose they're there, because they must be there, because the alternative is that God is real. And I got to stop sleeping with my girlfriend. I can't do that. I'm making it. This is real, folks. Why would somebody concoct something? The evidence is huge. But people say, I won't go there. I'm going to have to change my life, or I'm going to have to, my colleagues are going to laugh at me. I cannot accept what is increasingly, overwhelmingly clear. So I have to concoct something. So scientists are actually saying, they call it the multiverse theory. I love it when people come up with fancy scientific names for looniness, right? There just happens to be an infinity of universe. Obviously, we can't see them. There's no evidence, but they've got to be there. It's obvious. Okay. And one of those infinite number of universes happens to have all those dials just so, and you just happen to be lucky enough to be in that universe. Now, if that sounds ridiculous, it is. It's hilarious. When people say that your faith is not reasonable, let me tell you what's not reasonable, what I just said. It's crazy. Common sense from science says this is God's universe. He created this universe, and he created us, and he created a place for us to live because he loves us, and all that the Bible says is true. He loves us. He made us to have a life with meaning. It's not just some crazy faith thing. Science is pointing in that direction. So as I say this to you, I say this because we live in a time when you're not going to see this on CNN or even on Fox News or any place that you watch. You're not going to see this stuff. But this is reality. And I think we as believers have to fight back a little bit. We have to demand that people get real and get honest. Stop pretending like your faith is some private little cute thing. It's reality. It's like saying Columbus sailed here in 1492. Is that my opinion? Either it happened or it didn't, okay? The Wright brothers, you know, created flight 1903. Either that happened or it didn't. Your opinion doesn't matter. Did it happen or not? 1 + 1 = 2. Is that your opinion? You know, if you don't believe that, you're going to build bridges and buildings that are going to fall down. We need to understand that Christians should be interested in what is real and what is true. And when science begins leading us in this direction, why should we pretend that our faith is at odds with science? It's not. Science, the onus is now on scientists, in a sense, to deal with this. And many of them have been open about this. Fred Hoyle, who invented the term Big Bang, said that when he looked at some of these things from his perspective as a scientist, he got uncomfortable. He said, it looks like the universe is a put-up job. Yeah, it is. And the evidence is pointing there. And the evidence will only increasingly point there. So I think that the bitterness of people who don't want to believe that will increase because it becomes more and more uncomfortable when science is leading us to God. But for those of us who have a desire that that might be true, the evidence is huge. So there are people that they've been led to believe in our culture that, well, I guess faith is just something that you have or you don't. I would say to you, no. what we believe is either true or it's not. Jesus either actually rose from the dead or he didn't. It's okay to say that, right? And by the way, there's a chapter in my book on the resurrection, another miracle that will just blow your mind. And you say, well, what are the facts on that? Do I have to just believe that? It's been my experience that I've actually put this in two of my books, that the evidence for the resurrection is astounding. I never knew that we could know anything about this. 2,000 years ago, who knows what? But you actually can know a lot. It doesn't mean it's an open and shut case, but the evidence seems to me overwhelming that that probably happened. So a friend of mine gave the book to a cousin who's an atheist, and he read it. And after he read it, he actually said he thinks the resurrection probably did happen. We can't force people to believe, and logic cannot dictate that people believe. It's an act of the will, and it's really an act of grace more than our own will. But it doesn't mean that we should shrink from the evidence and from knowing that the crazy stuff you believe is not crazy, it's true. By the way, if you believe anything that's crazy and it's not true, stop believing it. We want to be worshiping a God of truth and facts and evidence because he has given us ample evidence to praise his name, to see that he really is the God of the universe, and that the lives we lead, it's not just some crazy thing that you were raised to believe that. It's true, folks. And there are people hungry, very hungry to know, is that what you believe? Is that really true? Or is that just for you? Well, I think we need to get emboldened in our faith to say that all the stuff the Bible teaches, it's real. It's not just for me, or it's not just like for some people. It's either true or it's not. And by the way, Paul himself in the scripture says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're the biggest fools, we're the most to be pitied. It's either true or it's not. And we have to stop acting like our faith is a private issue. It's no more private than the sum of 1 + 1 or the dates in history or when Lincoln was born. It's either this or it's that or we don't know. But it's real. And I want to say this to embolden you as you walk out into a hostile world. The God who created the universe, what he did is so astounding. If you read those two chapters in my book, trust me, you will be astonished because you've not heard this before. It's not going to be on the news, but it's real. You can look at the facts. You can read the books where I got it from. It's not some weird thing that I, you know, thought, let me throw this in there. This is really basic stuff. And top scientists know this, but they're just not talking about it because it makes them uncomfortable. If the God who created the universe, we shouldn't be here, but we're here, if he could do that, what could he not do? You think parting the Red Sea is a big thing for that God? Do you think healing you or healing your marriage or bringing your kids into the... You think that God who created this universe that should never in a zillion years ever exist, and here we are, you think he can't do anything? I want to encourage you, folks, not to hope that God is real or that his promises. Don't hope. No. You will behave differently if you know these things are true. These things are true. God has given us proof. He wants us to move beyond hope and into peace and joy and boldness and love. There are people so hungry to see, like, this person really knows that this is true because it is true.